Welcome to a podcast brought to you by the American Academy of Orthopedic Manual Physical Therapists. Our academy is a national organization committed to excellence in orthopedic manual physical therapy practice, education, and research. And we're here to explore a wide range of topics with you through interviews with content experts.
Hello. My name is Stephen Schaefer, and I'm excited to bring to you another great interview. However, before we get started, I want to remind you that you can always find web links in our show notes. These links will not only help you find our guests and their work, but also our academy. Today's links will help you find Evelyn Matifat, who I am thrilled to have on the show with us today. Evelyn completed her master's degree in physiotherapy at the University of Montreal. Since then, she has been working in both private practice clinics and public hospital settings. Her main practice is now focused on acute care, primarily in the emergency department. Additionally, she is currently working at the orthopedic research unit of the Maisonneuve Rosemont Hospital's Research Center. Her work there focuses on professional development of physiotherapy, as well as projects related to advanced practice physiotherapy, with a particular interest for care models in the emergency department. We invited Evelyn to the podcast because she was recently the primary author of a review published in Physical Therapy titled Benefits of Musculoskeletal Physical Therapy in Emergency Departments, a Systematic Review. For years, the topic at hand has been one of my favorites. As a result, I'm super excited to have Evelyn on the show today, and I can't wait to see where the conversation goes. Bearing that in mind, without any further delay, let's get to the interview. Evelyn, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we are super stoked to have you on. And as I think you're already aware, we have had people on from all over the world. And this is the second time in my interviewing career that I'm able to talk to somebody who is practically my neighbor. You are currently in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Is that not correct?
Yes, exactly.
So that makes me about an hour away to your west, just over the provincial border with Ontario. The last time I had the pleasure of talking to somebody in Montreal, however, they were not from Montreal. That was Harry von Piekartz. He was visiting from Europe. But anyway, I am still stoked to have, dare I say, a fellow Canadian on the podcast. Being a little bit loose in my interpretation of Canadian there, since I'm still technically American. But anyway, before we fully dive into the interview, and I am certainly very excited about this interview, I want to state that I think there are many reasons why the topic at hand today is a great amount of importance. Most notably, I firmly believe that well-trained physical therapists have a lot to offer when it comes to the experience that a patient might have in the emergency department. As I'm sure you're well aware, we have a lot of training in musculoskeletal healthcare, and sometimes that can be lacking in the emergency department setting. I think, of course, we should expect that all patients have great healthcare experiences. We know that sometimes that isn't the case. And we also, of course, know that physiotherapists can't do everything in the emergency department, but we do have a role. I believe we have a role, and I can't wait to hear your opinions on that.
Yeah, I do agree that we do have a role in the emergency department.
With that as our general introduction, let's start by exploring the overall reason that this project came into existence. In other words, what was the driving force behind this particular research project?
Yes, so from a personal standpoint, I do work myself in the emergency department in Montreal, so I do have a keen interest in that type of practice. And also, I work in a research lab with Dr. François Desmeules, and our team focuses mostly its research on advanced practice physical therapy or new models of care, mostly for MSK patients. And the emergency department PT models of care is one of our major research topics. So, and also, when we look at the current healthcare system status, we know that at least 25% of all emergency department visits are related to MSK disorders. So as such, we wanted to review the literature on this topic and see what's out there.
I think that's fascinating. I like the number 25%. I have seen some references that take it higher than that. Of course, this is going to be variable based on hospital and day and research methods, etc. We can also, as the background, talk about the fact that a couple similar review projects have been conducted in the past. You know, despite those having been there, you, of course, decided to go on and do a third review on this topic. Can you tell us a little bit about why that was the case? Maybe what was included in those prior reviews, what was missing, and then why that ultimately caused you to move forward and do the current project?
Yes. So first of all, both of these reviews included studies that were conducted up to 2009 only. So it's been a while. The first review included only four studies, since it focused mainly on physios in an extended scope of practice, and it was favorable to EDPT. But the second review initially included 11 studies, but based its conclusion on only three of them, which were deemed of sufficient quality and did not support EDPT. So since these reviews were published, many other studies came out regarding the impact and the efficacy of emergency department physical therapies. As such, we felt that it was time to update the current knowledge on this topic, and even more so that we're seeing EDPT gaining more and more traction worldwide. So we wanted to see what's the update on that type of practice.
I like it. You're taking a theme that's already been looked at. You're taking some ideas that have been developed in the literature, and you're saying some time has passed. We need to see how things have changed. And that, of course, is part of the scientific process. It's not to say, of course, that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that a physiotherapist wasn't useful in the ED setting, but rather to say we didn't necessarily have the research to support it. Bearing that in mind, can you give us a general idea of how many studies did you find this time around? And I don't know, maybe where were they conducted? What did they say? And just in general, what type of evidence is out there?
So when we look back at the literature, we look for studies published up to 2017 when we conducted the review. We ended up including 15 studies. Four were conducted in the UK, 10 in Australia, and one in China. Only three of those were randomized controlled trials, and the rest had various designs. Most of these studies assess some aspect of the efficacy of emergency department PT care, such as, for example, the impact on pain, the impact on function, or the impact on various delays. And almost all studies ended up looking at some aspect of an extended scope of practice for physio. So, for example, they were able to prescribe some medication, some imagery, or were able to triage patient or have direct access to those emergency department patients.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but this is summarized, I think it's in table one of the manuscript. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly.
So as I remember, and I apologize, I don't have the manuscript in front of me. For the listeners in particular, this is a very well laid out table. It has a list of all the studies and a lot of the different characteristics. We certainly don't have time to go over all of that right now, but I strongly encourage any interested listener to either go search for the paper independently or use the link in the show notes and then explore the evidence that is out there. As a kind of follow-up question on the same topic, and I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, but can you tell us how large these studies were? How many patients, how many physios, or just in general, were these small studies? Were they large studies?
We had both. So the majority, from top of my head, majority of the studies were conducted in only one emergency department and had close to maybe 100 patients. But there were a couple of bigger studies. One of them included 10 emergency departments and had over 14,000 patients included in the study. So we had both smaller studies and bigger ones.
Excellent. And do you know if these studies were of low quality, high quality, or just in general, like what type of evidence was this?
So when we ended up identifying the 15 studies, we used a tool called the Effective Public Health Practice Project Quality Assessment Tool to assess the quality of these studies. We used this one specifically because it was suited for various study designs, since we did not have only a randomized control trial. And we ended up having 60% of the included studies that were only of low to moderate quality, and only 6 of them that were of strong quality. So most of the studies lost points on either the lack of control of confoundings or the lack of blinding.
Based on the design of these studies, do you think that either they could have done a better job, or maybe in the future, if we do more of this research, can future scientists do a better job when looking at this topic?
I personally think we can always do a better job the next time around when I look at some of the study that I've conducted. As I could have done this and that and that. So I think there's room for improvement. I think there were some things that were not accounted for in the studies that they could have looked at right away. But in the future, we need more strong quality studies, definitely on this topic.
I couldn't agree more. And as a matter of fact, I have the same feeling, not just when I read literature in general, but with the studies I've conducted or participated in as well. You know, you do your best at the time and you always learn as you keep going. And it just seems we need to always put our goals or, you know, the measuring stick, et cetera, in a better place so that we can move in a more positive direction as we continue to do research.
Exactly.
After you and your team reviewed the evidence in these studies, what types of conclusions were you able to draw about physiotherapists working in the emergency department? For example, did we perform well when we were working in the emergency department? Did the people around us, obviously the major players would be physicians and nurses, did they like how we performed? And most importantly, were patients satisfied with the way that physiotherapists functioned in the emergency department?
Overall, PTs did perform well within the emergency departments. So when we looked in terms of safety, there were no significant differences when we compared usual emergency department care with PT care in terms of rates of revisit to the emergency department for the same complaint. So our patient, well, the PT patient did not come back more often than those who receive usual physician care. And PT care was not associated with more adverse events. So that's good. In terms of disability and function, studies showed that there were no significant differences between usual care and PT care, so the outcome was pretty much the same. In regards to impact on pain, we had one study of strong quality that showed that patients who did receive PT care had significantly lower pain levels upon emergency department discharge than those who did not receive PT care. And a lot of studies looked at the impact of emergency department physical therapy care on various delays. And most of them found that the patient who did receive PT care had significantly shorter waiting time, but as well as significantly shorter length of stay in the emergency department. So the in and out was faster. And some studies looked at the patient's satisfaction, and the most of them showed that there were higher satisfaction rates for patients who receive PT care than those who receive only the usual emergency department care. In regards to the satisfaction of other providers, we did not have any studies that look specifically at this aspect. So let's say, for example, satisfaction of nurses or physicians in the emergency department with the PT program.
That is all super interesting. And I don't have a study on the tip of my tongue right now because I can't remember. But I once upon a time remember reading a study that looked at physios in the emergency department. And one of the things that stood out to me in that study was there was one complaint about the physios that came from physicians and nurses. And that complaint was the fact that we're not available 24/7. So what these hospitals had done was take a physio from the physio or rehab department, move them over into the emergency department. And, you know, while our hours are, of course, a little bit different than this, it was essentially a 9-to-5 scenario. And in that situation, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock PM roll around, and a patient might stroll through the doors because, of course, we all know that emergency departments are open 24/7. And they'd say, "Where's the physio?" And the physio had gone home. So then those patients were relegated to the more, let's just say, traditional route within the emergency department. And to me, that wasn't very surprising. And it also, I think, speaks to the results that you found, which is we are trained in musculoskeletal healthcare and we do have something positive to add to the emergency department. So if you're used to us there and we're helping out and then all of a sudden we're not, then it must feel like something's missing.
Yeah, I do agree with that. From my personal experience, when we are there, the physician tend to use us. And when we finish our shift, they kind of run after you. Oh, wait, I have another patient for you and another patient for you. So I think that's always an issue with implementing new models of care. You obviously need money and you need resources. So you need PT. So it's little by little. So you implement one PT a day and then in the evening and then so on and so on. So
from that point, there are lots of directions we could take this conversation. And just thinking on the fly here, one of the questions that I think is most important is what should we be doing to evolve the healthcare systems that we rely upon so that patients, providers, you know, physiotherapists can benefit from positive development, change, evolution, etc.? What should we be doing to improve things?
A lot of things. I think it's not a simple answer. I think there's a lot of education to be done in regards to patients, but also other providers. Sometimes they, for example, physician or nurses, they don't know the full extent of what we can do. But when they do know, they find that we're useful. So I think there's a lot of education to be done. I think we have to rethink how the patient goes through the healthcare system. So from that first ED visit, is he redirected to his physician? Does he have a family physician? Does he need to go to ortho? So we have to rethink the pathways of care. So I think it's a very complicated question, how to optimize those models of care, because everything is connected. It's not a one-stop shop, unfortunately.
That is, of course, a very honest and accurate answer. You know, it's an easy question to ask. It's a hard, you know, let's call it reform or list of reforms to implement. We had, I think, a little bit of a taste of this recently because of the global COVID-19 pandemic. And, you know, one of the things that has happened in my clinical practice, for example, is traditionally my patients would know if they had back pain. They could go to their family physician, they could go to the emergency department, or they could come see me. And since I work in a direct-to-provider situation, they could easily just come into my clinic. And then all of a sudden, my clinic was closed. So patients, let's say patients even with severe low back pain, had to go to the emergency department instead, even though they didn't want to, because that's where people with COVID-19 might be going. And it was just this, I don't know, it was an interesting and new dynamic. And if physios had been in the emergency department, maybe the back pain patient could have been sent off in this other direction, but we weren't there. And then, you know, the private practice clinics were closed. So I think it left people with less options, or let's just say less ideal options.
Yeah.
So speaking about that in general, and there are so many different ways to potentially contextualize this, but one of the things we've heard over the years is that there's a physician shortage. And I'm sure in some ways that's very true, but one of the concepts that I'm picking up here is, well, maybe if we add physiotherapists to the emergency department, that could help counteract the quote-unquote shortage a little bit, because in particular with patients that have musculoskeletal complaints, it would make sense to take some of that workload away from them and have us serve as, you know, another profession in there taking care of that caseload. What are your thoughts on that overall process? And do you think it may or may not help?
Mm-hmm. So I do agree that there is a shortage currently. We know that there are many settings in healthcare systems in which we just do not have enough physicians to answer to patient demand. So just to name a few examples, for example, in specialty clinics such as ortho, there are often very long waiting lists and long delays before accessing care because there's just not enough physician to see all of these patients. Also, in primary care setting, this shortage is exhibited by the fact that, for example, in nationalized healthcare systems such as Canada, governments are unable to provide physician access to all the populations. Not everyone has a family physician or a GP, so because there are not enough of them. And regarding emergency departments, I recently saw a statistics from the CDC that showed that demand for care is increasing drastically. So the yearly average increase for emergency department visit is 7%. And when we look back at the past 20 years, which is not that far, there has been an increase in emergency department visit of 60%. So that's a lot of patients to see for physicians. And combined with that, we currently have what I call the demographic pressure. So the population is aging and there's an increasing prevalence of chronic disease, all of which are contributing to increased visits in primary care, including in emergency department. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier, we know that at least 25% of these visits are related to MSK disorders and they're bound to increase also. So I do believe that PTs can definitely lend a hand and improve not only access, but quality of care for those patients. Personally, I think it all comes back to seeing the right person at the right time and that we can definitely help for the management of a MSK patient in primary care, including emergency department.
I couldn't agree more. And since this is the first time that we've had someone like yourself on the podcast, in particular, a physio with this type of experience in the emergency department, I'd like to ask you to give us a little bit of a snapshot of what your time in the emergency department looks like. What type of patients are you seeing? How much time do you spend with them? And maybe even, did you have to have extra training in order to do this, or is it just something that you did as an entry-level physiotherapist?
So my day can vary greatly. Some days I will see only patients with MSK disorders, and sometimes I'm going to see patients that are geriatric, patients that fell, patients that have vestibular disorders, or patients that have some kind of neurological deficit, but it's still unclear because the physician are doing some tests. So it varies greatly. Sometimes it takes me maybe 15 minutes. I know what's going on. So for example, I'm suspecting a fracture. So I go back to the physician and say, maybe we should look into that. But sometimes it takes a little bit longer. So for example, low back pain, it was one of the major reason for complaints in the emergency department. So it can take me up to an hour just to do the proper assessment and proper treatment to be able to put that patient back on their feet and walking a little bit so they can go back home and continue with their PT care at home instead of being in the emergency department. So it depends, really. My day is always a surprise, which I like. Regarding the training I have for practicing in the emergency department, I do tend to take a lot of training because I just love it. I always want to learn new things. So the training that has helped me the most is probably the McKenzie training, since it was really useful for those really, really, really acute low back pain patients. It's easy to use. It's often you get a quick fix and you can send back the patient home with those tools to take care of their back on their own. So otherwise, I took some various trainings regarding prescription for x-rays and a lot of MSK treatment and management courses, of course.
To me, that sounds like you're mostly just using your traditional everyday physio skills in the emergency department, and not that you went on and got an advanced master's or took a full semester-long course in special emergency department procedures that a physiotherapist needs to know. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. Because unfortunately, there's no specific training for emergency department physio. I'm currently enrolled in the University of Montreal's new program, which is a postgraduate program that's aimed for advanced practice physiotherapy for mostly MSK care. So we do have received a lot of training from physicians. So I say from emergency department physician, from orthos, from neurosurgeons. So this helps a lot to see their perspective of the patient. And it helps me keep in mind what to look for in the emergency department. Because I, from a personal standpoint, I think the most difficult part in the emergency department is, remember, you can always miss something. Because a big, big fracture with the tibia out of the leg, everyone's going to see that. But it's those little fracture or those little red flags that are going to be missed, since it's so... the patient is moving a lot, you don't have a lot of time. So that's the tougher part for the emergency department.
And of course, that rule, that general observation applies to outpatient practice as well. And maybe it's a little bit more urgent in the emergency department, because assuming
you know, the pain level is more severe or the symptoms are more severe, maybe missing them or having the wrong conclusion is going to be, again, more severe than an outpatient. But I see it all the time where outpatient practitioners miss the detail. And just for example, I've had plenty of patients come to me and I'm their third physio and I'm the first one to, for example, arrive at the right diagnosis or ask the right question. And I think that's in general just advice that all practitioners should keep in mind all the time, regardless of setting.
Yeah, exactly. I do 100% agree with that. We always have to keep in mind in the back of our head, this might be there. I should rule out this. And it's hard sometimes.
It is hard. If I can just do a quick shameless plug for our academy, you know, this is all the type of thing that I honestly didn't know all that much about when I graduated physio school. But in the United States, when I did my fellowship training, which here uses a little bit different terminology in Canada, but I went through that process of how to become a frontline provider, how to rule out different systems and ask the right questions. And at this point, I have, you know, lots of examples of how the physician, the physio, the patient, the dentist, the whoever didn't think enough about different systems, and either they treated the patient for the wrong thing or they treated them for the right thing, but with the wrong treatment. And, you know, it's just it's a general testament to the fact that we have to always be thorough. And a lot of times it does take that post-professional training to really get us to that point.
Definitely. And the clinical experience, the more you see, the more you learn, and the more you know the next time around.
Absolutely. And I have another question out of curiosity here. And I say this in part because I've never worked in an emergency department. I'm assuming that you're an independent practitioner there. You don't have to have, for example, a physician sign your notes or okay you doing what you do. Could you just explain that a little bit so our physiotherapy audience could understand a little bit more about your autonomy or potentially lack thereof?
Yes. Yeah, so in my hospital, we currently do not have direct access to patients. So the patient will see the triage nurse first, then see the emergency briefly, the emergency physician. And afterwards is the physician that's going to make a consultation request for a physio. So often they just call us, hey, I have this patient in that bed. Can you see him? But afterwards, I'm completely independent. So I do my own assessment, my own treatment. Write my own notes, and I come back to the physician saying, okay, so this worked, this did not work, this is worrying me, and I just give my input. This is what I think we should do with that patient. So yes, he can go back home, or no, it's going to be probably unsafe. We should maybe try this or that. So I do have some autonomy, but I cannot directly access patient as of now.
Do you think that might change at any point? Are you hopeful or do you desire that that'll change so that you could, for example, be one of the individuals that's participating either in the triage or the second step of the process where you determine what pathway the patient might take while in the emergency department?
I do hope that we can be implemented just after the nurse triage, because I think that we can help directly a lot of patients. A little bit similar to those patients that we're seeing in outpatient clinics or private practice. Our team did conduct a study in which we compared direct access to PT compared to ED physicians, and it showed, and we look at the agreement for diagnostic and treatment and discharge, and we saw that we did agree on what the patient had. Often the treatment varied between physician and PTs, which makes sense since we do not have the same tools, but the discharge we also agreed. And we had in that research, we had two or three patients that presented signs of not MSK disorders or of disorders that needed a physician attention. And all of these patients were flagged by the PT saying, okay, this person should go back to the physician because something's not right. So I hope we can be implemented a little bit more as a triage function, at least for MSK patients.
I hope so as well. And one of the themes that I'm picking up based on my knowledge of prior research is that a lot of these issues or factors at play in the emergency department really are occurring either in tandem or parallel with what happens in outpatient practice as well, except, of course, potentially on a more acute scale because it's the emergency department. everything you just said to me rings true in terms of how we function. And of course, every system is a little bit different once you cross a jurisdictional border or whatever. But it sounds like a lot of the old problems in a potentially new setting.
Yeah, exactly.
Based on everything you just said, based on, you know, your desires for how things might start to change a little bit in the future, I have to ask you, do you currently have any research projects that you're working on or planning for in the future?
We did complete surveys in regards to both patients and ED physicians' perception and acceptability of emergency department physio care, both of which are currently under review for publication. And in the future, our team would love to complete a randomized control trial across Canadian emergency department to further assess the impact of emergency department physiotherapy care and hopefully help broaden its implementation in the future.
That sounds wonderful. As a quick follow-up question, do you know if enough emergency departments in Canada already have physios working within the department for that to be feasible just from the get-go? Or would you have to try and set up a scenario to get physios into the emergency departments first and then conduct the research study second?
I do not know if we have enough of them across Canada. This is also one of the studies I want to complete this autumn. But to know what's out there, what are the physios doing, because it's not really equal just within provinces, for example, in Canada. And cities. So I want to look into that, but I think you can do it both ways. You can wait for the physios to be there and then assess it, or you can assess it, then you can show the other providers. So this is what implementing a PT care program in the emergency would look like. And sometimes that helps because they see us, they see what we can do, what we can bring to the table, how we can help them. And sometimes that just sparks a little something to implement a new PT program.
I love it. I think it's a great project for the future. I also think it's a great project for 10 years ago, but that's a whole separate conversation. Physiotherapists obviously have a lot to offer, not just in the MSK realm, but everything from acute to chronic patients in a variety of settings. If I can say so, I'd like to encourage our audience, if they don't already have it, to go get that advanced post-professional training so they can think more broadly, more accurately, more thoroughly. That's really going to be one of the things that I think drives our profession forward. It's part of why I was so excited when I saw this paper in the literature. And, you know, I just want to thank you for the work you've done and the work you're going to do in the future. It has been an honor to have you on the show, and I hope our audience enjoys this conversation as much as I have.
Thank you so much for having me.
This has been a production of the American Academy of Orthopedic Manual Physical Therapists. You can learn more about the Academy by visiting our website at aaompt.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching for our acronym, AAOMPT. The views and opinions expressed on the AOMPT podcast are those of the interviewers and interviewees and do not represent the official position of AOMPT. The information presented should not be used as personal health care or clinical practice advice. If you need to find an expert orthopedic physical therapist near you, then check out the Find a Fellow feature under the Public Resources tab at www.aaompt.org, which you can find in the show notes.